This is Nation Radio with Alan Mitchell, a.k.a. Low Tide.
Only on Edmonton Sports Radio.
Team 1260.
A little after 1 o'clock, this is Nation Radio, our focus Oilers past, present, and future, plus the NHL's biggest stories every week. And we are delighted to have in studio from OilersNation.com and various locales across the internet, Jonathan Willis. Welcome.
Real pleasure to be here, Alan.
All right, Jonathan, let's start with a discussion of what we saw the other night with the Edmonton Oilers calling up a bunch of players. We had a chance to see some more rookies, and I'd like your opinion on Timo Hartikainen and how he looked in his first game.
Well, I thought he looked really good. Granted, you've pointed out he did get a ton of power play time, and that's been his role in the minors as well as the typical guy in front of the net, deflecting pucks and whatnot. But I thought he looked really good because he looked like a guy to me who can take over the sort of J.F. Jacques role right away, the big guy in the corners along the boards, and he can play his way up from the fourth line. And granted, it's just one game, but he looked close to NHL ready to my eye.
Yeah, and it's hard not to overdo it because he did look so good and so ready. You do wonder about, next year, if you have Hall and Pajarvi and, say, Ryan Jones as the top three, based on that one performance, Jacques is probably on the outside looking in.
Well, I think we had to look at this season and kind of view it as almost a line in the sand for Jacques. He's been in the organization a long time. He's been since the 03 draft, yep. And he hasn't, granted injury sort of took away his career there. So to me, this year was an audition for a future role in the NHL, and I really don't know that he's shown enough.
Right. He has shown in glimpses, but, mm-hmm. We've seen glimpses since he turned pro in 2005. So we've seen 5 years of it, and it doesn't seem to be getting any better. And a lot of that, I think, has to do with injury, but Hartikainen has, he's healthy, and man, he looked really good the other night. Van de Velde won 3 of 4 in the faceoff circle, played 7-19. How did he look to you?
I thought he looked good. I was really keyed in on Hartikainen because he's one of the prospects I like to follow, and so I didn't see Van de Velde quite as much, but he looked good to my eye. I know they started the game on the fourth line with Hartikainen and with Steve McIntyre, and I thought they looked surprisingly good early, considering that McIntyre hasn't really played many minutes this season.
I thought that's the best McIntyre looked all year.
I totally agree.
I was like, wow, this, and it's a big line. And with Hartikainen, his skill set, I believe, is so unique on this roster. He can play along the wall. He's tough. He has fought. In front of the net, he can play. I don't see a way you can keep him off the roster next year as it's set up now, unless they add somebody.
The moves we've seen the team make really indicate that they're looking at a long-term approach to the game. And if they are looking at building from the ground up, as they've said time and again, and as their actions have shown, it makes sense to put Hartikainen in on the fourth line now, see what he can do, give him some time to grow in the NHL. He's had minor league seasoning, and he's really close to ready.
You wrote an article on Tom Gilbert at Oilers Nation this week. He's a quality player, in my opinion. He's miscast this season and part of last because the team has been so lacking in actual NHL defensemen who are healthy. Why do Edmonton fans dislike Tom Gilbert so much?
Why do Edmonton fans dislike Tom Pody so much? it's very easy to turn on these guys who are puck-moving defensemen who maybe don't belong on the first pairing night in and night out, and who make obvious errors. I mean, Tom Gilbert, to me, is in over his head right now. He's playing 27, 28 minutes a night. He's playing either with Ladislav Smead or with Theo Peckham or with Jason Strudwick. He's had a revolving door of people, and every night he's played the top opposition. Realistically, I don't think he's going to be successful in that role. He's a guy who, at his best in Edmonton, he looked at his best when he was playing with Denis Grabeshkov against second-tier opponents. And I think that's his role going forward. And I think if he can get back into that role, if the team can find more defensemen to push him a little bit further down the roster into somewhere where he's had success in the past, then we'll like him a lot more. But in the role he's in right now, the frustration's so easy to understand because he's overexposed.
What do you think about bringing Grabeshkov back? Is that something that you think the Oilers might look at, number one, to see if he can get out of his KHL contract? And might that improve the top four a little bit?
I have my doubts the Oilers will look at it just because it's a move I like, but I think Grabeshkov showed that he, at the very least, he's a good third pairing defenseman. The Oilers could use a veteran guy. I don't know if Grabeshkov's the ideal fit if you already have Curtis Foster on the roster playing a similar offensive first role from the third pairing, but I do think they need to add some veterans, and Grabeshkov's definitely a guy I'd look at.
Rennie used Gilbert about the same as McTee did, second in even strength minutes and solid time on the PK and PP. Under Pat Quinn, Gilbert was sixth in even time on ice, although it was close. Do you think Gilbert stays here long term?
I really don't know what they're thinking with Gilbert. When they traded off half the defense corps last year, I mean the big defensemen that Tambellini inherited were Vishnovsky, Surrey, Gilbert, Grabeshkov, and Steos, and four of those five guys are gone or soon to be gone. So they don't really have a lot of other options. I think if they did, it'd be more likely that he moved, but I just don't see who they... I don't think they have enough depth to replace him at this point in time.
Petrie has a similar skill set. It seems to me the Oilers are low on those veteran defensive defensemen. Could you see them moving Gilbert, putting Petrie in that role, and then bringing in an established defensive defenseman to play in the top four?
I think that's a possibility, but then I think you're pushing back the timeline to contend again. A safer bet to me would be to keep Gilbert and Petrie until the trade deadline and then perhaps shop Gilbert then, especially if he's having a better season, because his value probably isn't super high right now. And in that way, you're covering your bet. If Petrie stagnates or doesn't look as good next year, you still have Gilbert. And if Petrie's tremendous, then you can trade Gilbert for something at the deadline.
Right. If the Oilers break camp in the fall with Gilbert and Whitney and, say, Smead and Peckham as their top four, how do you think they'll fare during a long National Hockey League season?
Well, I think they'll get toasted. We saw this year they don't have enough depth on defense. Piling in rookies is not the answer, but maybe that's what they're going to do, just because they are looking at this with a rather long timeline. And from a long timeline perspective, it makes some sense.
Right. And Smead is a guy who you think eventually could be able to play that shutdown top four role. I have my opinion, but I want yours.
I don't know what Smead's upside is. I really don't. What I like about Smead is that I think he's a very good third pairing defenseman now. I think he's big and I think he plays tough, which is something the team needs. And I don't think he's overpaid. Mm-hmm. And I think he has the potential to be more than that. I don't know if he ever will be more than what he is right now. But even if he never develops on his current contract, he's a useful player in the system.
What I like about Smead is that, as you said, he's big and strong. And he's very mobile. Mobile defensemen with size are very valuable. Matt Green suffered through a lot of growing pains here. But now he can play and he's got that size and speed. And in the way they're calling the National Hockey League now for penalties, a guy like Smead is very valuable, but all I need from him is just a little, and he has improved this year, and if he can just improve that a little bit more and be a guy that they can count on penalty kill and at even strength, then I think they've got a player there. I want to change speeds a little bit with regard to Rennie and how he's handling this roster this year. One of the surprises for me, I have a friend, Louise, who's a big fan of Andrew Cogliano. But we both agree that he had stagnated and he really hadn't progressed, maybe even since his rookie year. But Rennie's been able to use Cogliano in PK situations, and his offense has improved a little bit, although he's playing with Hall and Eberle, so he's obviously getting some really improved minutes. Do you see Cogliano as being a player that they can make use of as an Oiler moving forward?
I think they can make use of him. There's some questions on the center depth chart about what direction they're going to go, but it's obvious the coach likes him based on his usage this season. If he can develop into he's always been cast as sort of a defensive center in the minds of some, because the initial scouting report was Todd Marchant with hands because of his speed. And he hasn't shown that to date. Maybe he can, but a lot of players don't start showing that until they're a little bit older. So I think he can be a useful player. I don't know that it'll be with the Oilers, but I think he'll have a nice career.
Can you see the Oilers, you know, you talked about center. Can you see them moving forward with Gagne and Cogliano as part of the top three centers?
I don't know. Not as they're playing at present. I think if Gagne takes that next step, then it's a possibility, but I think they'd probably prefer some size. Although that doesn't necessarily mean that Gagne's out. I don't know if it's an either-or choice. Even if they decide they don't want both of those guys in their top three centers, maybe they shift a guy like Gagne to the wing, or maybe they move Cogliano to the wing.
Okay. We're in conversation with Jonathan Willis from OilersNation.com. This is Nation Radio on Edmonton Sports Radio, Team 1260. It's about 10 minutes after one. The Oilers have a lot of kids coming. Lander, who they have to sign, I believe, before June 1st. Vandeveld, who we saw the other night. Fraser, O'Mara. Those are the candidates, I guess, for the fourth line center next year if they don't make any other moves. If we're in Vegas right now, which one do you bet on landing that fourth line job?
Well, Robin Brownlee over at Oilers Nation had a lucky 13 contest earlier this year, and I thought a couple of guys were going to be traded, but I didn't want to bet on it. So I think betting on the incumbents is always the safe choice. And I think Fraser hasn't looked terrific this year, but he does have NHL games in his past, and I think he'd be the guy I'd bet on for the fourth line role next year.
And he's also signed for another year. He's we got word today that he's out for tonight. He blocked a shot and has a bruised foot or something like that, so he'll be scratched tonight. Jason Strudwick will be playing on, I believe, left wing for the Edmonton Oilers tonight. The big question for me when you set up the forward group for next year is Alex Hemsky. A little bit Sam Gagner because of his injury too, but Hemsky, heading into this year, he was a guy along with Penner that you had to think about re-signing. The Oilers solved that problem by dealing Dustin Penner, but now they have a new problem in that Alex Hemsky is injured once again, and he's having surgery, and it's a long rehab. A team that might trade for him in the summertime is going to be looking at a guy who, you know, shows up at camp and is still rehabbing. Alex Hemsky, a decision on him has to be made by the Edmonton Oilers this summer about signing him. Do you think they'll go to him with a contract offer? Do you think that's wise, or is it better to wait?
When they traded Penner at the deadline and opted to keep Hemsky, I felt that perhaps they'd made their decision. I don't know that Hemsky's recent injury plays into it so much, just because it's a track record with him. He plays hard. He goes to tough places. He gets hurt. This is what he does. And, I mean, he wouldn't be as effective a player if he wasn't playing the way he does. You just have to accept that he's a guy like a Martin Havlat or a Marian Hossa of the last few years that's going to get hurt. I'd like to see them keep him now because they have dealt Penner. My preference before that was to retain Penner simply because Penner has been so healthy, and I'd rather see 80 games of Dustin Penner than 55 games of Alex Hemsky, although I think Hemsky's a phenomenal player.
Yeah, he definitely is. So, from my point of view, just reading what we've been exposed to in the last few weeks, there was a period of time where Hemsky had met with the owner and they had talked long term, and Hemsky was definitely giving the idea that he was someone who was planning to be here long term and looking forward to it. It seemed as though at the deadline we heard that Hemsky had been told by Steve Tambellini that he might trade him. Shortly thereafter, there's another injury, and then we find out that Alex had been putting off this surgery, and now he's having it. Is it reading too much into it to say that the timeline may have changed, at least on the Hemsky side, because of the fact that he may have been shopped or there was an opportunity there to trade him at the deadline?
I don't know if I'd want to read that much into it. I don't know the player, and I wouldn't want to guess, but the fact that they didn't move him tells me they think there's at least a good chance that they can re-sign him, and I don't know that this injury would change that.
Okay. Are you comfortable next fall with Hemsky, Brule, Eberle, Omark as the top four right wingers?
Yeah, I'd be comfortable with that because I think next year you have to look at it in a similar light to the way we did this year. We knew coming out of training camp this year this was not going to be a competitive team. I think next year they'll be better, but I don't think they're going to be challenging for a playoff spot, and you might as well see what you have in those players.
And Dubnyk, he's earned enough to be the starter next year, in your opinion?
Given the options currently in the system, certainly. I'm still not sold on Dubnyk long term, and I don't mean that as a shot at Dubnyk, just because we haven't seen a track record of success because he is so young, and sometimes these young goalies go sideways. But he's definitely played very well this year, and he's definitely... He has the first shot at the starter job unless they sign somebody spectacular over the summer, in my opinion.
I can make a logical argument that the smart move is to sign someone, an NHL caliber goaltender, to a one-way deal in the summertime, if you're the Edmonton Oilers, with the idea that if Nikolai Habibulin cannot return to a similar level than maybe before he got here, that you would be sending him down no matter the cap hit in the fall. Is that something that you think is a defensible argument?
I think it's a defensible argument. I don't know. Well, what they did this year, bringing in Martin Gerber, was a fantastic choice, even with Jeff Delorier in the system. Gerber added a lot of insurance, and he played very well when he's been called on, both in Oklahoma and here. I think they'll probably do something similar to that next year. I'd like to see them find a way out of the Habibulin contract, but I don't know if that's a realistic thing, given what management has said. They sided with him after his first season, that awful injury, and the subsequent off-ice issues. So I don't know that they'll give up on him now.
Gerber played very well when he was here. Why didn't they play him more often?
It's hard to play him, though, because he's signed to a one-year deal. He's a minor league goaltender. He's going back down, and Devan Dubnyk's the other guy, and Dubnyk's got a way better chance of being here long-term. And it's not fair to Gerber, but that's the situation.
Do you think the Oilers might surprise us by signing a European goalie, one of those 25-year-old veterans that Toronto usually signs and then sends to the American League?
Well, Toronto's stuck with so many of those young guys that maybe they'll have a shot. There's been rumors in the past that the Oilers have pursued these guys. I think it's a good decision.
Okay. And one final one. A team like the Washington Capitals has three quality young goaltenders. And we know that goalie, the position now is well taken care of for most organizations. Signing a free agent, as we found out with Habibulin, is unwise because there's so many of them available. Do you think that a trade is possible and a good idea for a Holtby in the summertime?
I think it's a good idea depending on the return, because if Washington's asking an arm and a leg, it makes no sense. But if you can get a good young goaltender relatively cheap, which based on what we've seen is a possibility, then yeah, it's a good idea.
We're in conversation with Jonathan Willis. It's about 1:18. We're going to take a break now. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about some of the graduating college juniors and European players and the NHL entry draft 2011. It's all coming up next.